Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. And as always, what a blessing it is to be in the Lord's house. I trust that you have already sensed the presence of the Lord in this place and that you are ready to receive what the Lord has for you tonight. That's one of the reasons we come to worship the Lord, is also knowing that God has something for us through the Bible, preaching and teaching from His Word. So if you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of Judges in chapter 8, Judges chapter 8, we've been going through on Wednesday nights and studying on the life of Gideon. And we study this Bible story. If it's in the Bible, it's more than just history. It's more than just a story. It is history, but it carries with it biblical principles that we can apply to our lives even today. If you learn a biblical principle taught in an Old Testament story, then you'll find Christ revealing that in New Testament scripture. And when you find that, what a blessing it is to see how the Bible just works hand in hand, Old Testament with the New Testament. And that's what we've been doing as we've been studying the life of Gideon. We study this biblical story and how God worked through Gideon and the circumstances and situation. And then we learn biblical principle. And then as we learn that, we go to the New Testament. We see that presented by our Lord Jesus Christ in New Testament Christianity. And so Judges chapter 8. We're going to be reading verse 4 down to verse 9. Now, if you remember verse 1 through 3, how Gideon handled the unbelievable criticism of Ephraim. Gideon's 300 had just defeated 135,000 Midianites. 135,000 being defeated by 300. God was giving them this miraculous victory. And in pursuing, after they defeated them, now they're wanting to make sure that they get a full victory, getting all of what they could out of this victory. And so Gideon got everybody involved. He got the other 31,700 soldiers that had been sent home, was not allowed to fight with them. God narrowed it down to 32,000 to 300. And as he narrowed it down to 300, then now Gideon called back the 31,700 so that they can enjoy and have part of the victory in pursuing and totally annihilating the Midianites, the enemy. He also included the tribe of Ephraim. Ephraim had not sent anybody to be a part of that, but yet they were still part of the family of God. They were of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so he invited them to enjoy and come in and get as much out of the victory as they could get as well. And then they turned around and criticized him in chapters 1 through 3. And we've seen how Gideon handled the unbelievable criticism of Ephraim. Can I tell you, if you're doing anything for the cause of Christ, you're going to be criticized. And you can expect it from the world, but when it comes from your church family, when it comes from somebody that you really didn't expect it from, maybe a parent or a spouse or a brother or sister, it's harder to handle the criticisms of those that you think ought to be encouraging you in doing the work and the things that God wants you to do, and yet they're the ones that Satan now is working through to try to hinder you from accomplishing what God has you there to accomplish. And so I can't go back and re-preach last Wednesday night's message, but if you were not here, get the CD, because you'll need to learn how to handle unbelievable criticism when you're just looking to do the right thing. And that's what Gideon did. And he did, what a marvelous job he did in handling the criticism of his brother tribe, Ephraim. Now after this, let's move on down, chapter 8, verse 4. Go ahead and stand with me. Everybody ready to study the Word of God tonight? Okay. You need to be ready to receive what God has for you. So right now, put everything out of your mind. There's always distractions. There's always things that are on our minds. But you need to just kind of turn away from that. And let's spend the next whatever time we have here in preaching and teaching this to receive what God has for us. Now, I believe it's a lesson that all of us have need of. And so here in verse 4, Judges chapter 8, verse 4. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him. I got this underlined. Faint, yet pursuing. Faint, yet pursuing. And he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint. And I'm pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. And the princes of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thine army? And Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into mine hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. That's Gideon. He's got a little spark to him there, doesn't he? And he went up thence to Peniel and spake unto them likewise. And the men of Peniel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered him. And he spake also unto the men of Peniel, saying, when I come again in peace, I will break down this tower. Wow, a little different side of Gideon, but a needed side for all of God's people. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, we love you, Lord, and thank you for loving us and for every opportunity to make available to us to just to learn more and to draw closer to you. So I pray for all that are here tonight, God, that you'd help us to put everything else out of our hearts and our minds, focus on this passage of Scripture and the lesson that you have for us individually and collectively as a church. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Faint, yet pursuing. There's been many times things have happened in serving the Lord where you didn't think that I could continue. Something out of the ordinary, some kind of pressure, some kind of trial. And you were on track, but this has really set you back. It just kind of made you faint. But you didn't faint. You just keep pursuing. You just keep doing what you know God has you here to do. Faint, yet pursuing. The 300... The Bible reveals here that Gideon has his 300 with him. Now he invited others to get involved in cleaning up the what was left over of the battle. But he wanted to set his sight on these two kings so that they would be totally annihilated, where they would never cause Israel problem again. If we don't get the full victory when God wants us to, many times those things will come back and repeat themselves in our lives. If you just get a temporary victory and then you think that's enough and you don't get a full victory over something, a sin that so easily besets you or an enemy that is right there, it'll come back. And so Gideon already said, we're going to get full victory here. We're going to keep pursuing until we annihilate this enemy. We do not want this enemy to come back. For 7 years, they had been under the oppression of the Midianites. 7 years they had taken away Israel's joy and rejoicing and harvest. And God has given them this victory, and they wanted complete and total victory. They were not going to stop short of 100% victory. What a blessing that is to understand that. And so they're pursuing. But then they had to deal with the unbelievable criticism of Ephraim. He should not have had to spend energy with Ephraim. When you're serving God, you should not have to spend energy dealing with those that should be encouraging you. I mean, it's hard enough to serve God as God wants us to serve Him in the world that we're living in, but to not get the support from those at whom you think you ought to be given support, faint. Another, something that Satan can use to cause you to want to just give up, but yet pursuing. I'm not giving up. I'm not stopping. I'm going to get the full victory that God wants me to have. Faint, yet pursuing. So now after he had to deal with his own brother Ephraim, now he has to deal with the men of Succoth, and Peniel. For they choose not to assist Gideon. Now, it's one thing for the world not to encourage you or to help you to get things done. But we ought to be able to rely on brothers and sisters in Christ. We ought to be able to rely upon a Christian family if they're truly Christian. We ought to be able to rely upon a spouse, a parent that has raised me to serve God, I married in order to serve God together, whatever it might be. We ought to be able to depend upon the support of others that should be involved in this very same fight that we're involved in. These men of Succoth and Peniel were of the 12 tribes of Israel. Specifically out of the tribe of Dan. They were the children of God, the chosen people of God. They had experienced the very same oppression. Now, they're on the other side of Jordan, so they were not oppressed as much as some of the others, but they still was under the oppression of Midian. And now that Gideon has Midian on the run, you would think they would be on board and at least support Gideon and his 300 by giving them some nourishment to help them to be strengthened in the battle against. He didn't ask them to come and fight with him. He said, we're faint. We need some food. We need some refreshment. And you have it here. And that's what they would do. They would call on family when they're making these kind of travels and they're fighting these kind of battles. They're calling on those around them to help them so that they can accomplish what God wants all of them to accomplish. That's the story. That's what's going on here. And he asked the men of Succoth first. And then he would ask the men of Peniel. Both failed to respond in support of Gideon. Now, Gideon made sure that they knew what he was doing. Look at verse 5 with me. And he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me. I'm not even asking it for myself. I'm asking it for my soldiers, my chosen one, the one that God has given us the victory over the Midians. And I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. Have you not been around for the last 7 years? Have you not seen how that the Midianites are oppressing the children of God? Have you not seen how the world is trying to oppress the Christian lifestyle? Have you not seen how the world is against those that believe the Bible? Have you not seen how the world wants to change morality and wants to put in jail anybody that would stand in opposition of biblical morality? It's the very same principle. It's the very same principle of spiritual warfare that he was fighting then that we are fighting today. And they're expecting other Christians, other church members, other that claim the name of Christ and hold to the belief in the Bible as this great nation was established on. We're on 4th of July. Yeah, we are looking at our independence, and our forefathers looked to God for deliverance. They looked to God for victory. They looked to God for freedom. And they established this country based on biblical principles. And no one wants to remember that. And they're wanting to persecute those who just don't want to change. Who still believe in the very principles that this country was founded upon. Because it was founded upon the very words of God. And God does not change. And so he said, we're pursuing after. Surely you know the Midians. You've experienced for the last 7 years how they have oppressed us. And now God has given us the victory, and we're pursuing them to make sure we get full victory and totally annihilate those that would oppose Israel. Now that's what was taking place here. We want you to stand with us. Would you give us some nourishment? See, they knew it was God. The men of Succoth knew that Gideon was doing what God called him to do, delivering Israel. The men of Peniel knew that he was doing what God, because he just told them. Is there not a cause? Basically, what he's saying to them now, we need you to help us here. We need you to stand with us against the Midians because they've been oppressing us. God's given us the victory. We could not have done it. 300 could not defeat 135,000 on our own. It was a miracle of God. God has given us this victory. We just need you to stand with us now as we follow through with doing what God has us here to do. Today in New Testament Christianity, we are here to be a light to the world. We are here to be the salt to the earth. We're here to stand for righteousness. We're here to preach the truths of Jesus Christ. We're not looking to annihilate people. We're not looking to shoot somebody that's living in sin. Not that at all. We're looking to get them saved. We're looking for them to have the blinders that Satan has put on them, take the blinders off and see the reality of the love of God. See the reality of the love of Christ. See the reality of living the life that God wants us to live. That's what this nation was founded on. Christianity has given every other religion the right to worship freely. No other religion would have ever given Christianity the right to worship freely. You look at other nations, it was this nation based upon the principles of God and the free will of man and wanting to make worshiping God everyone's freedom. And Christianity has allowed everyone. But we have continued to stand to let everyone know we believe in God. We believe in Creator God. We believe in the Ten Commandments. We believe in the Bible. And our laws are established based upon the words of God. We want to hold to the words of God. We are not wanting to erase God from our memories. We want and need God's blessings upon our lives. Support us. You claim to believe in God. You claim to be a Christian. You're part of the 12 tribes of Israel. Come on, Succoth. Come on. We're not even asking you to get out on the battlefield with us. We're just asking you to stand in support and give us some nourishment because we are faint, but we are pursuing. That's what's going on. David went to the battle, and the men of Israel were cowering down from Goliath. David looked around, and he says, is there not a cause? I'll go fight him. If you know what else, there's a cause. And all of us ought to be willing to stand for what's right. All of us ought to be willing to take on Goliath if God wants Goliath taken on, and he did. And because David knew there was a cause, he went out there and got the single victory himself. Yeah. So why? Why would these two towns, these two people, the men of Peniel, the men of Succoth, why? They had been oppressed 7 years. What could they be blinded to, or what would make them so fearful of standing with Gideon and his 300. Verse 6. And the princes of Succoth said, "Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thy hand, that we should give bread unto thine army?" Wow. They're fearful of Gideon losing the battle. And if Gideon loses the battle, they're going to have to answer to Midian. Can I tell you, sometimes we allow our imagination to go too far. And we imagine things happening. And so I can't take a stand where the Bible tells me to on morality, because what will happen when the laws change? Am I willing to go to jail? Am I willing to, is it a hate crime for me to tell somebody in love? That's not the way the Bible would have you to live your life. That's not biblical morality. That's not how God designed the home and the family. That's not how God designed his church. And we get so far ahead that it keeps us from supporting what we ought to be supporting, where we're at. Look at our battles over the last two centuries, almost 2.5 to 3 centuries as an America, as the United States of America. Look at our battles. Has not God given us victory after victory after victory? It's not because we're more powerful, it's because our God is more powerful. And God has blessed America because America has been good. And America is only great because we're good. Amen. And the laws that we live by and what we've established as biblical morality up till recently. Yeah. They would not support or identify with Gideon for fear of persecution of Midian. I guarantee you, in our last election, saying what you will about President Trump, and I don't get too much involved in politics. I tell you to vote biblical principles. But there was white and black when it came to who stood closer to biblical principles. And people did not want to openly support Trump or what he stood for, but when the votes were taken and they could cower down behind and nobody see who they identified with, they knew what was right. And they voted more biblical principles than they did worldly principles. They voted for more biblical morality than they would have worldly morality. I mean, that was somewhat known. It was in... But they just didn't want to, and they still do not want to publicly, because of the persecution that might come along with standing upon biblical principles. Acts chapter 4. Everybody follow me tonight? Amen. Amen. It's all real. It's true. I mean, what happened then, it's happening today. Biblical principle. Even though we might be faint, need some nourishment, keep pursuing. Acts chapter 4. After the Lord was ascended up to heaven, the disciples were afraid after the crucifixion to identify with Christ. They were hiding because they didn't want to have to be crucified themselves. But then they met the resurrected Savior. And when they met the resurrected Savior, their faith increased. And their purpose was made clear. And even though they might get faint, they were going to yet pursue. Amen? Chapter 4, verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. I guarantee you that's coming. Now, it's going to be real close to the rapture. Amen. But that's how things are going to lead up into the rapture. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I know the truth. How can you keep from telling people the truth? I know where this world's headed. I know where everybody is going to spend eternity. All who fail to identify with Jesus Christ are going to spend eternity in the devil's hell. And those that truly receive Jesus Christ have got a home in heaven. That's reality. That's what I know. How can you expect me not to help people to know the truth? Chapter 5, verse 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intent to bring this man's blood upon us. Well, did you not crucify him? Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Should we not say the same thing? Should that not be the true mentality of every born-again believer? When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Do you think they knew that they would do that? I don't think they thought. They didn't allow that fear to keep them from saying what God wanted them to say. Chapter, look down to verse 40. And to him they agreed. They had somebody, Gamaliel, intercede for them. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were accounted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. That was 2,000 years ago. And without them doing what they did, we would never experience Christianity. Because they did what they needed to do, it has afforded us an opportunity to have a United States of America and have a freedom of religion and to be able to stand and to preach exactly what God tells us to stand and preach. Yeah. That was 2,000 years ago they did that. I think that we owe a debt. Gideon promises the consequences of their decisions. I love that. Go back there with me, Judges chapter 8. After they did this, then Gideon does what he does because he promises. Gideon is not acting on his own. I believe the Spirit of God has told Gideon to tell him this. He promises the consequences of their decision. Verse 7. And Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zeba, and he will, when the Lord hath delivered Zeba, with or without your help, and Zalmunna into mine hand, then this is the consequences for you not supporting us. I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. There's just a consequence for you not standing where God wants you to stand. And verse 9, and he spake unto the men of Peniel, saying, when I come again, he gives them the very same warning, when I come again in peace, I will break down this tower. Now, I love this because first thing here, Gideon's promise of the consequences of their decisions gave them a second chance to do a right thing. When you come to church and you hear Bible preaching, it gives you a chance, a second chance to do the right thing if you're in a Bible church. Because you're going to be experiencing conviction when you hear the preacher get up here and tell you, stand for what's right. If you're in a Bible church. If you're in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, you're going to hear the truth. And with the truth being preached, you know what you're going to, if you're not doing it, there's going to be conviction. It's going to be a warning. And there's a conviction. And they're there to help us to do what we ought to be doing. Being the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Standing where God wants us to stand. Yeah. Not someone telling you that you have a champion inside of you. And you have the grace to live whatever way you want to live. Don't let anybody judge you. Don't let anybody tell you that you're not living, doing what you want to do is all right. And then they'll have a big smile on their face. That's not biblical preaching. That's giving people what they want to hear and itching their ear. Allowing them to continue in their sin and die and go to a devil's hell. Yeah, that's really what people need to hear today. If people are living in sin, they need to be convicted of sin before they will ever repent of that sin. And you can't get forgiveness of sin unless you repent of that sin. But if there's no one telling you that it's a sin, then you'll never repent of it. Especially when so-called religion supports it. God does not support it. God supports His word. And every born-again believer needs to stand where God wants us to stand. They lack faith and courage to take the stand that God wanted them to. Did not God know that it would take that? Look back to Joshua chapter 1. Everybody still follow me tonight, right? Don't get squeezy or queasy on me here. It's all right. Yeah, this is biblical principle. And we found it in New Testament scriptures. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Jesus says, God's given me, I've got power of heaven and earth. As you go out and do what I've commanded you to do, I'll be with you. Same thing. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Don't cower down to the world. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not from the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. You want God's blessing? Do it God's way. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Stop watching the soap operas and getting your doctrine from the psychology of the world. Which today, if you're watching any television, you're noticing they want all of the immoral, ungodly relationships to be the most exciting and the most accepted in the world. That is the world. That is the mentality of humanism. That is not Bible. That is not God. And I think American people, especially Christian people, no better. Sometimes we're just too afraid to stand where we ought to stand. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. The second thing, Gideon's a promise of the consequences. First of all, there is consequences. There's going to come judgment. The second thing was, no help for Gideon meant support for Midian. When you fail to stand for the Bible, you're supporting the world. Yeah. If you're not standing with Gideon, if you don't want to give them nourishment and help them to defeat the final stage of defeating the Midianites, then you're helping the Midianites. If you're not supporting those that are wanting to do right, then you're helping those that want to do wrong. If you're not supporting the church, the true church, you're supporting the world. The very least thing any truly born-again believer ought to do is support a good, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, fundamental church. It's the very least. Support it. Attend it. Don't be ashamed to identify yourself with it. Jesus said in Matthew 12, and I'm running out of time, I won't go much longer here, but I want to finish here. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, again, Old Testament story, New Testament principle. Once we learn these principles, we find it revealed in New Testament scripture. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, he that is not with me is against me. If you're not standing for Christ, you're supporting the world. There's no neutral ground for Christianity. There's no neutral ground for anybody. Jesus said it right here, no neutral ground. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. We're all either one way or the other. We are with him. We're supporting biblical Christianity. Or we're supporting the world. What are we doing? No neutral ground. Christian, I'll support the church. I'll be baptized in the church saying, I want to identify with Jesus Christ. I want to publicly shall tell people I want to identify with Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed. You ought to have tracts in your pocket to give out to anybody that you come across, they will receive one. You need to invite everyone you come across to come to your church to hear the word of God being preached. Should not be ashamed of the word of God being preached. We're the light of the world. We ought to be wanting, we ought to do everything we can to encourage as many that will to come in and support genuine biblical Christianity. The best way to defeat the world is exalt Christ. If I be exalted, I'll bring everyone to me. If I be lifted up, are we lifting up the cross? Are we lifting up the teachings of Jesus Christ? Are we supporting what we ought to be supporting? Are we afraid of persecution? And because of being afraid of persecution, we won't even stand with Gideon to give them some nourishment to fight the battle. Yeah. Lastly, Gideon continues his pursuit. We cannot allow the failures of others to keep us from accomplishing what God has for us to do. Even if it's a failure of a spouse, the failures of a parent. We cannot allow, just because they're not supporting us, we cannot give up on pursuing what God wants us to do. Faint? Yeah. Would it be easier if I had the support? Yes. Do I want the support? Yes. Am Am I going to stop if I don't get it? No. No. Because there's a cause. I guarantee you this, God does not look kindly upon those who will hinder his work. Offend one of my children. Hinder one of my kids from doing what I've called them to do. God will not look kindly on that. Yeah. Closing, Romans 8. Romans 8. Gideon said, love to have the support. And there's going to be consequences you're going to have to face if you're not standing where you ought to stand. But I'm not going to let you keep me from pursuing. Faint yet pursuing. I'm going to continue to pursue until I've accomplished what God set me up to accomplish. God is not dependent upon any to help me get it done. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If Succoth will not support us, and Penuel won't support us, and Ephraim is criticizing everything we've done, I think maybe we should just quit. No, that's not what Gideon did. He said, faint, but still pursuing. What shall we then say to these things? And this is what you say to these things. If God be for us, if I know I'm doing God's will, if I know this is what God has given me to do, even though I don't have the support that I'd like to have, if God be for us, who can be against us? You and God make up a majority. If only you can have the faith to believe that you have God on your side. And if you are on God's side, you have God on your side. Now, God's not going to leave his position and come to you. So as long as you know that I am following biblical truth, as long as I am doing what God has me here to do, as long as I know that I'm doing what God wants me to do, I know I have God on my side. And if God be with me, doesn't matter who's against me. I might be faint, yet pursuing. I will pursue until the work is done. What a great story. What a great biblical principle for us to learn from. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Faint, you might be tonight. Don't give up. Don't stop. Faint, yes, yet pursuing. Keep on pursuing. Because you have God. Not going to have a musical invitation. Very seldom do we on Wednesday nights, but right now is an invitation. I don't just know how God might have used this in your life and how in your heart and your mind. Where you're at, I don't know. This is a message. This is just life of Gideon. Powerful biblical principle. Make an application. Have you already given up? Confess and forsake that. Second chance to do the right thing. Confess and forsake that. Get back on board with living and doing what God would have you to. It'd be worth it. Just having God on your side. Anybody else? You need to come tonight. You need to make a decision. Father, we bow before you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church. Thank you for your holy word, for the life of Gideon, biblical principles that we've learned. Help us, Lord God, no matter what the world does, no matter what others do, help us to be strong in our faith and confident in our pursuit. Strengthen us to accomplish what we're here to do. Now be with each one tonight, especially those that have made commitments. Lord, help them to follow through with those commitments. Get us home safely tonight. Bring us back to the next appointed hour. For this we pray in Jesus' name.